Good morning, honorable members.
Morning, Mr. Saraza.
Honorable members, I'm just waiting for Chair. She's trying to get hold of me now. I'll start the meeting soon after I just spoke to the chair now. Thank you.
Noted.
Morning, honorable members, once again. Morning, honorable members. Chair has just indicated that she has been booked off sick, so that's why I have to listen to what she was calling for. So in that situation, honorable chair and honorable members, as you know, according to the NA Rule 159, if the chairperson of a committee is absent or unable to perform the functions of chairperson, the committee must then elect another of its members as acting chairperson. So I will open this now for members to elect an acting chairperson in the absence of the chair. She has been booked off. Thank you, honorable members. Over to you.
Mr. Sagaza?
Yes, Honorable Zuma.
Good morning, Mr. Sagaza. Good morning, Honorable Members, the Deputy Minister. I will propose the name of Honorable Mwetis Nontwele to be the acting chairperson of this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Zuma. The name of Honorable Nontwele has been nominated, so is any seconder for that name?
My hand is up.
Honorable Ndaba, I can see, yes, sorry for that. Honorable Ndaba.
Thank you. I suppose some Ndaba second the proposal of Ms. Nontwele as the acting chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Ndaba. Is there any other name? Well, then, in the absence of any other name, the Honorable Nontwele then elected as the acting chairperson. Over to you, Honorable Nontwele.
Morning. Sorry, let me just... Let me just set my setting, please. Sorry, just a second. Morning, Mr. Sagaza. Morning, colleagues. I'm just setting my settings, please, just a second. Thank you. Thank you. Morning, Mr. Sagaza. Morning, colleagues. Sorry for the delay. I had a problem with my gadget. We are a bit late, almost 10 minutes. But I hope that you understand my challenge here, because I was traveling early this morning. My apology for the delay. Can we proceed, Mr. Sagaza, with your announcements of the procedure?
Thank you, Honorable Nontwele. First of all, Honorable Nontwele, I quickly go to the roll call here, then the agenda. We've got Honorable Makubela, Honorable Zuma, yeah. Honorable Ndaba, Honorable Nontwele, Honorable Jacob, Honorable Inanna, Honorable Bagram, Honorable Kado from the portfolio committee. And from the department, I can just for now acknowledge the presence of them on Moroi. And then from the support staff, we have myself, Ms. Ndabeni, Mr. Mukwena, Mr. Ngobo. And then, Chair, maybe through you, acting chair, you can maybe the department can introduce themselves before I take you through the process. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Sagaza. Can we allow you, Deputy, to introduce your delegation, please?
Morning, Honorable Chairperson and the Honorable Members, Deputy Minister, and the colleagues on the platform. We have the Deputy Minister, and we have the DDG responsible for corporate services, Ms. Bahumi Madebisi. We have the CFO, Mr. Peggy Maduna. We have Ms. Marsha Bronkhorst, who's the COO of the department. And we have Ms. Matabelo Matabache, who's in the DG's office, the Chief of Staff in the Minister's office, Mr. Matumela. And we have support staff in the office of the Deputy Minister, Ms. Karabo Makagane. We have the DDG, acting DDG, Mr. Thembi Nkosi Mkhaliti. And of course, we have the PLO, Mr. Thando Wababa. We also have Ms. Esther Rwande, who's representing Mr. Mrotoba. And we have Mr. Zandi Mweli, who's the head of the Deputy Minister's office. Chair, so far, those are the people that are in the platform from the from the department. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, DG. Mr. Sagaza, would you flag the agenda item, the first agenda item?
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Yes.
I just forgot to also acknowledge the fact that there is Ms. Soraya Williams. So she's also here. So I'm gonna flight now the first C list of that COID amendment.
Just before that, can we maybe acknowledge the presence of the Deputy Minister and invite her to share some remarks with us before we go to Mr. Sagaza. Morning, Deputy Minister, Honorable Deputy Minister. Can you share with us some reflections before we proceed?
Good morning, Honorable Members.
Thank
you so much. Honorable Nonsele, our acting chair, allow me to greet all honorable members and including our director general and our officials from the department. I think I'm not going to say much because the DG is here and relevant officials who are supposed to be talking on what is expected of us to be presenting. But just to say that, Honorable Chair, that the issue that will be discussed today in terms of the presentation, among others, over and above the issue of the COIDA Amendment Bill, is the issue of our presentation, which talks to the targets. Sometimes targets will always be can be debatable as to whether they get we set low standards or the targets are satisfactory or higher. Sometimes we need to begin to debate some of those issues. But what is important is the fact that we need to check whether are we able to achieve the targets that we set for ourselves. And I think we need to focus on that, and we need to look into whether do we have the necessary capacity that has to actually take us forward. I think this will be very important when we do an assessment of the work done by the department. Without any further ado, honorable members, I would end there and allow you, Chair, to call upon our officials to take us through. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Sorry for the ambush. I can say that you really were not ready.
Thank you, Chair. We're not ready at the time you called me.
Yeah. No, thanks. Can we have the first item, Mr. Sakaza?
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Acting Chair. Sorry, Chair, it's also just brought to my attention that the Minister, Honorable Ngwesi, is in the Cabinet meeting now, so he has an apology. I also see Honorable Mkhondo has just joined in. So I'm going to share, Chair, on Acting Chair, the first item on the agenda, which is the COIDA list, which was also done last week, but the official version is here, Chair. I'm flighting it now.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Sakaza. Members, the amendments to the COIDA Act, COIDA Bill, was in fact presented last week during our meeting, and the motions were made in terms of clause 39, clause 43, clause 63, and clause 64. Well, I will invite Mr. Sakaza to read through the report relating to the clauses as amended and the proposals, and then invite members then to make their comments. Can we proceed, Mr. Sakaza, with the report in presentation?
Yes, I'm looking for it, Honorable Chair.
Okay.
Where is this now? Sorry, Honorable Chair. Just give me a second. I'm trying to get to it here.
Honorable members, can we bear with Mr. Sakaza to get the report?
I seem to have. Where is this report? I had it here. Is it visible, Honorable Acting Chair?
Yes, but it's not yet open. Can you
is
open it?
No. Can everyone see it? Draft report on what?
It's only the heading. The document is not open on my side. It's just the list of your document and the draft report, which is on top. Yeah, on proposal on COIDA, the 31st of August, 2022. But it's not open. Open it first. Just click on the document so that it opens.
I'm trying to click. Where is it? Okay, stop share. Let me go back there. Okay, here is it. Oh, yes, I see now. Is it visible now, Honorable
yes.
Chair?
Yes, Mr.
Can I read through it then, Chair?
Yeah.
Draft report of the Portfolio Committee on Employment and Labor on the Compensation for Occupational Injuries and Diseases Amendment Bill, B21B of 2020, dated 31 August 2022. The Portfolio Committee on Employment and Labor, having considered the Compensation for Occupational Injuries and Diseases Amendment Bill, B21B of 2020, National Assembly Section 75, and the proposed amendments of the National Council of Provinces as per announcement, tablings, and committee reports of 23 March 2022 on page 101, referred to the committee, reports the bill with amendments B21C of 2020. The process followed by the committee on the NCOP proposed amendments on COIDA. One, the NCOP passed the bill on 17 May 2022, subject to proposed amendments. The bill was then returned to Assembly and referred to this Portfolio Committee on Employment and Labour for consideration of the Council's proposed amendments, as per that announcement ATC 72 of 17 May 2022. On 24 August 2022, the committee received a briefing from the Department of Employment and Labour on the proposed amendments. The committee deliberated and agreed on the proposed amendments as they were flighted as clause 39, clause 43, clause 63, and clause 64. There was a minority view that the Democratic Alliance, although agreeing to the proposed amendments, reiterated its original objection of the entire bill. So therefore, the committee recommends that the Portfolio Committee of Employment and Labour recommends that the House passes the bill with the amendment report to be considered. That's the report. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Mr. Sakaza. Honourable members, that's the report arising from the process that has been undertaken by the National Council of Provinces, who have since returned the bill back to us for further consideration. We've had the discussion a week ago on the matter, and now the report is being presented for adoption. Can we invite comments and the motion for the adoption?
Yes, Chair, Michael Bagram.
Honorable Bagram.
I've got no objection to actual amendments, but we have an objection to the overall bill.
Okay. So you have an objection overall to the bill. Noted,
yeah.
Honorable Bagram. Honorable Ndabe.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to the honorable members. I is Busisi Ndabe. Move for the adoption of the entire bill. Thank you.
Honorable Ndabe, move for the adoption of the bill as amended. Any seconder?
Chairperson.
Honorable Zuma.
Thank you, Chairperson. I, Honorable Zuma, formally second Honorable Ndabe for the adoption of the bill.
Thank you, Honorable Zuma. Honorable members, the proposed draft amendments to the bill have been moved and seconded. We also note the objections of the DA as presented by Honorable Bagram. The bill will be taken for formalization and debate by the National Assembly, so that we compare or comply with the recommendation as put forward by the National Council of Provinces. So can we then move to the next item, Honorable Mr. Wababa, unless there are further points. Honorable Ndabe, your hand is still on, or is an old hand?
It's an old hand, Chair. My apologies. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Through you, Chair. And then the report, also the draft report that is here, also must be adopted, Chair. We adopted the CILIS, now the report, Chair. Yes. Formally.
Can we formally adopt the draft report, Honorable Members? Any mover?
I suppose some Ndabe formally move for the adoption of the report, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Ndabe.
Honorable Sibongile Zuma, formally second.
Thanks, Honorable Zuma. The report has been formally adopted as well. I think I would note again the objections that were made in the initial process by Honorable Kato, which read the same as that of Honorable Begram, that they object overall to the bill, and that they do not have objection to the amendments. Thanks, Honorable Members. I think we have completed this one of the agenda relative to the amendments to the corridor bill. Can we move, Honorable Members, to the second item, which is the report, the adoption of the draft report on the oversight visit to Eastern Cape, which was undertaken on the 19th to the 21st of April 2022. Just to assist the meeting, the session, so that we in fact understand where we are with the report. The report was formally presented a week ago during our sitting as the portfolio committee. And the committee agreed that through the direction of the chair, Honorable Dunzwa, that we should in fact allow the committee to go back to further consolidate the report for presentation. So the report itself was presented a week ago. What would ask you, Mr. Sagaza, is to just to run the report again from page to page, if members agree, or you read it through if they want it so that we go directly then immediately to the recommendations, to observations, and then finally to recommendations. My apologies on that. We agree, members, ne?
Yes, Chair.
You are running slow.
Oh, sorry. I thought I was going straight to observations. All right.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, you can go straight to observations if there is absolutely nothing that has been raised. Thank you, Mr. Sagaza. Honorable members, we're now on the observations. We will read it point by point so that members can then indicate their views if they want us to proceed. Then the committee made the following overall observations. There are good interpersonal relations between managers of the Eastern Cape Provincial Department of Employment and Labour in its women are well. Okay. Women are well represented at all levels of the organization. However, people with disabilities are not well represented. And that the third one, clients queue for long hours, sometimes exposed to intolerable weather conditions, don't appear to be well managed. UIF bus take services to the people. Can you go up, Mr. Sagas? I'm on bullet 4.
Okay.
UIF bus take services to the people, especially those who live in far-flung areas where it is difficult to get to labor centers. However, the bus does not provide services such as CCMA services. The CompEasy system has capacity to store documents, thus making it easy to trace payments, and employees can register claims on the CompEasy system. Department officials are therefore able to identify repeat claims that are submitted fraudulently. Umehluko did not have these features which made it easy, susceptible to being defrauded. The performance targets of the department are set below my apology, which makes it to appear as if the department is overachieving. So the point of setting the targets very low. The department set aside approximately 200 million for tools of trade during the COVID-19 lockdown. However, shortage of tools of trade is still a problem in most labor centers the delegation visited. The Laboria office building appears, that is the one in East London, like it had not been well maintained, and the renovation costs are estimated at 86 million. There is a lack of ventilation in some offices in Gqeberha and in King Williamstown, that is in Koni. Some centers don't provide space for staff to have refreshment, resulting in personnel having to have their lunch at their desks. Can we go on? The SEEs do not have adequate support in terms of procurement of their products, whereas there is a general outcry for orders of linen and school furniture, but that are never honored and are gathering dust at these factories. Only the Western Cape Health Department is procuring hospital linen from the SEEs of the Eastern Cape. Some of the issues raised by the employees of the SEEs include unavailability of special government-sponsored support to take employees to and from work, lack of skills development program to capacitate SEE employees for senior positions at work. SEE employees qualify for houses under RDP, Reconstruction and Development Program, but have to wait long like all other applicants. SEE employees belong to Makoti Medical Scheme and are not contributing to it. The scheme does not cover some of the benefits, and they can only consult doctors that are approved by the scheme. The next bullet is the Gqeberha SEE is surrounded by Livingstone Hospital, Dorandinza, and Port Elizabeth Hospital, but they are not procuring supplies from them. Can we move? It is noted that there are 16 labor centers and 5 satellite offices, but it is not indicated where these are located. And that also of concern is the nature of the 44 vacancies in the province and whether they are fully funded. So those are the observations that the committee have made. Any comments on the observations, honorable members, before we go to recommendations?
Yeah. Chairperson,
can we raise hands so that I know them, so that we don't speak intermittently. Honorable Inanna, you are the first one. Any additional hand? Any hand for noting? Honorable Inanna, you can proceed.
Yeah, Chairperson, these observations are reflecting exactly what transpired on the interaction in the Eastern Cape when we had this oversight visit. Yes, we do accept that were the observations that were identified and were clearly noted by the delegation. Therefore, I accept these observations.
Thank you, Honorable Inanna. Any further comments on the observations? There's none. Can we then proceed to recommendations. The recommendations are as presented as follows. The committee made the following recommendations: that the Minister of Employment and Labour ensures the following. First bullet, the provincial department work with stakeholders of people with disabilities to ensure that people with disabilities are equitably represented in the establishment of the provincial department. Bullet number two, the queues in labor centers are properly managed and shelters provided for clients to protect them from extreme weather conditions. If possible, comprehensive services are provided at the bus that provide UIF services to the community. The fourth bullet, the performance targets are set in accordance with the available resources to the provincial department. The fifth bullet, the tools of trade are made available to the labor centers to ensure that they meet their performance target. The sixth bullet, the working conditions, including ventilation and refreshment spaces, are improved to ensure appearance of professionalism to the public. Sixth bullet, the Department of Employment and Labour continues with negotiations to ensure that the National Treasury Department grants preferential procurement status to the SEEs. Seven, the SEEs are supported by advertising their products broadly, since there are so many schools that lack school furniture. Eight, the Department of Employment and Labour intervenes to formalize the prioritization of its disabled employees in allocation of RDP houses, since many departments prioritize people with disabilities. Nine, the department explores the possibility of providing transport for people with disabilities employed by the SEEs. Then, SEE employees who belong to Makoti Medical Scheme are made aware of the package of benefits for which they qualify and the list of doctors approved by the scheme. 12, the department has a national strategy with all public and private workplaces to prioritize optimal utilization of skilled disabled persons. 13, these are public engagements with members of communities through public outreach programs to empower and educate people about relevant labor laws, including the UIF, COIDA, OSA, or Occupational Health and Safety, the Basic Condition of Employment Act, and the CCMA powers and functions. The role of labor inspectors is understood by everyone involved in the labor sector. The Department of Employment and Labor should report back to the Portfolio Committee on Employment and Labor on progress made with regard to the above mentioned recommendation within 1 month after the report has been adopted by the National Assembly. Those are the recommendations. Can we invite comments from members? Honourable members. Honourable members, if you don't have anything against or amendment, then we can invite motions, proposal for adoption. Honourable Member, the platform is yours.
Chairperson, Member Inan.
Yes, Honourable Inan.
Chairperson, I remember Yinana, the member of this Portfolio Committee on Employment and Labour. I hereby reject the adoption of this report.
Noted, Honorable Yinana, the objection of the Democratic Alliance that they continue to object overall to the report. I don't know whether you want me to phrase it in the same way that your colleagues earlier announced that they do not necessarily object to the amendments. They object to the overall bill. Should we retain it in that fashion, Honorable Inanna?
Yes.
Okay, for the record. Thanks, Honorable Inanna. Any mover for the adoption of the recommendation and the second, Honorable Members?
My
is there anyone? Okay. Honorable Mdabe.
I suppose it's Mdabe formally move for the adoption of the report with the amendments that were made. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Mdabe. Honorable Wolmarans.
Thank you, Comrade Chair. I'm Matthew Wolmarans. Do support the recommendations as amended from this report.
Thanks, Honorable Wolmarans. The recommendation has been moved by Honorable Mdabe and seconded by Honorable Wolmarans for the adoption. The report then will be taken forward to the National Assembly, Honorable Members, with noted objections from the Democratic Alliance, and the item now is considered closed. Can we move then to item three, Mr. Sagaza?
Yes, Honorable Chair. I've made Ms. Masha Bronkhorst and Matapelo so that they can fly to their presentation.
Thanks. That is the briefing by the Department of Employment and Labor on its 2021-2022 third quarter performance and expenditure report. That is of 2022-2023. If noise outside, Honorable Members, if it's the sounds on the screen, understand is that there is work on the street where I'm currently seated, but it's just a temporary disruption. Sorry for that. Ms. Masha Bronkhorst, the platform is yours.
Thank you. Who's
presenting? Is you or the DG? It's you.
It's her chair.
I was gonna ask her to do that. Thanks.
Thanks. Can you then proceed, Ms. Bronkhorst?
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to everybody. The presentation has been circulated, so I'm going to look at a few slides with your indulgence, Chairperson, and then, as is our practice, look at the areas of non-achievement of the department. The first slide that I would like to focus on is that of slide four, is slide four, which is an overview of the performance for the department for the last, for the three quarters of the financial year. You will see that we started the year in quarter one with a performance of 73%, improved a little bit in quarter two to a performance of 75%, and then in quarter three, the performance went down to 67%. Now, tracking the department's performance year on year, always in quarter three, our performance goes down a little bit, and this is as a result of numerous officials who take study leave exam, it's exam time traditionally in South Africa in quarter three, as well as the fact that quite a number of people do take leave during this period. We have a shutdown period in December as well as the department, because of the fact that I think the whole of the country goes into shutdown. So our performance in quarter three normally goes down a little bit in terms of the achievement of our indicators. The next slide I would like to draw attention to is that of is slide six, Chairperson. Here I have given a comparative analysis of our performance per program from quarter two to quarter three, so that we have a sense of what has happened. In terms of administration, there has been a small decrease from 67% to 57%. And what is new here is the issue of interim financial statements, as you will see earlier, that where the deadline date was not met. Inspection and enforcement services managed to improve on their performance from 50% to 75%. Public employment services went down to 80%, and you will see when I look at the detail why. And labor policy and industrial relations had a substantial decrease in their performance from 100% achievement in quarter two to 60% achievement in quarter three. And the total, therefore, total performance for us was 67%, as I said earlier when we looked at the pie charts. The next slide I would like to focus on is that of slide 11, which looks at the areas of non-achievement. Now, members of this committee who have been coming with us for some time will know that the very first one, the issue of filling of vacancies, continues to be an elusive achievement. We, as a department, have got challenges in terms of filling our vacancies to the level that we have set ourselves. You will recall that in the APP of 21-22, we had a 3% or less vacancy rate. We have not managed to achieve that, mostly because of the large number of applications we receive, and then there are delays in capturing this processes. It's a process issue that we have in I think, in public service in general. The next slide, which looks at non-achievement, is that of slide 13. It is also Program 1 Administration, and members will also recall those, as again, who have been with us for some time, that to finalize our disciplinary cases within the time frames has been a challenge for us. It is because we are using people from other departments, we're using other experts, and these reports and finalization is normally slow in coming. So it is a problematic situation. And then, excuse me, the corporate services has also decided that that employment relations must specialize in the resolution of these cases, and then that the anti-fraud and corruption unit will detect and investigate cases and then hand it over to employment relations. I'm sure members have recalled from the UIF presentations that there's quite a substantial number of fraud and corruption cases that have to be dealt with. If we move to slide number 14, which is the next area of non-achievement, thank you. Members will recall that the department tabled its annual report last year late, and because the annual financial statements were not finalized, the auditing thereof, the preparation thereof, and this has had a snowball effect in terms of the interim financial statements, the submission that we could not do it by the 31st of October, and they were submitted on the 12th of November last year. The next slide I would like to look at would be slide 18. This is the one area where the inspection and enforcement services have not managed to achieve their indicator. This is the inspection of workplaces. And here it's the same challenges that we've had. The number of workplaces that were not accessible due to COVID cases. There were administrative inspections performed, but they were not sufficient to enable us to achieve the target. The members will also recall that this is a cumulative target. And if quarter one, quarter two was already building a backlog in terms of the numbers, then it becomes even more problematic to do so in quarter three. The next slide I would like to focus on would be slide 29, Chairperson. And I would just like to I would just like to hear focus a moment on the placement of work seekers. We had a target of 37,500 people that had to be placed in work or job opportunities, income opportunities, and the department has managed in this quarter to place, or by this quarter, to place 48,638 registered work seekers, 11,000 more than what was expected in terms of our indicators. If we look at slide 30, the area that was not achieved there for public employment services, members will recall that there was one area of non-achievement. This was the partnerships that had to be concluded in terms of placing people in work and finding job opportunities. They had a target cumulatively of 15. Only 13 were concluded because there were still internal processes that had to be finalized in terms of the verification of these processes. The next slide that I would like to look at, Jefferson, is slide 34. This is the issue of the national minimum wage review. And this was not achieved at the time where it was supposed to be done. It was supposed to be finalized by the 31st of October. It was only finalized by the 17th of December. And this was because of challenges in terms of the research processes that had taken place, changes in the way that Stats South Africa collected their data, and then also discrepancies on wage data that we received. And that made it difficult to finalize the report. So the National Minimum Wage Commission published a notice to invite written representations concerning possible adjustments to the minimum wage. And that is why we succeeded in publishing the report, although it was outside the timeframes that we set for ourselves. Slide 36 takes care of the last area of underachievement. The midterm report, which was a progress report on bilateral cooperation, multilateral obligations. This was produced, but it also did not meet the agreed deadline. And I think what happened here is that everyone was finalizing the child labor conference, which we're all aware took place early in the year. And they, I think, did not prioritize the way that they should have in terms of finalizing this report. Jefferson, then I would just like to focus attention in terms of the impact report on two slides before I hand over to the CFO. The first one thereof is the issue of monies recovered by our inspectors. I think this is an important slide that we look and see what is it that the inspector has in this quarter managed to recover for the workers and the vulnerable workers of the country. If we look in terms of the BCEA, you will see that there was just under 6 million rand recovered for workers in terms of underpayments. But look at the national minimum wage. Nearly 20 million rand was recovered in terms of underpayments for workers. Then contributions for COI, or the compensation fund, 28 million arrears contributions were recovered. And in terms of the UI Act, 1 million arrears contributions. But it's important, I think, that we focus on the national minimum wage and the BCEA to see that we managed to put nearly 26 million rands into the hands of workers in the quarter under review. Then the last slide I would like to focus on is slide 53. And I just want to make it a summary. If we can just go back to slide 53, please, Matapelo. Thank you. I just want to focus on the work seekers, talk a little bit around the work seekers that are registered. In the on the ESA system, 60% of the work seekers that are registered is young people below the age of 35. Nearly 118,000 of the just under 200,000 are young people that are registered with us. And 54% of these young people are young women that have registered with the department. In terms of the counseling that is provided by the employment service or the career counselors, 72% of the young people that were registered on the ESA system were counseled and prepared for the world of work. Chairperson, if you will allow the CFO to just take us through the financials for the quarter, if that's acceptable to you. Thank you.
No, that's fine, Masha. Thanks for the presentation. CFO, the platform is yours.
Good morning, Chair, Honorable Members, Deputy Minister, DG and colleagues. The slide that is now cited is the budget information for 2021, just for quarter three. In terms of the budget for the quarter, on administration, we were budgeting 254 million and we spent 229.6, which is the 90% of that of the budget for the quarter. For IES, the budget was 166.6 million and we spent 132.5 million, which amounts to 80% of the budget. Public employment services, the budget for the quarter for quarter three was 170.2 million and we spent 169.9, which equates to almost 100%. The LPNIR, the budget for the quarter is 351.1 million and we spent 335.1 million, which amounts to 95%. Overall, in terms of the program budget, we spend 92%. The next slide is the same information, but according to economic classification. For current payments, we budgeted for 517.6 million, and we spent 469.8 million, which amounts to 91%. Transfers and subsidies, 395.2 million, and we spent 382.1 million, which amounts to 97%. Payment for capital assets, the budget that was earmarked for the quarter was 29.3 million, and we spent 15.1 million, which amounts to 52%, which gives us the same spending percentage of the overall of 92%. The next slide, looking at further on the current payments. Current payments comprises of compensation of employees, which we budgeted for 341.5 million and we spent 323.9 million, which amounts to 95%. Goods and services, the budget for quarter three was 176.1 million and we spent 145.8 million, which is 83%. Overall, on the current payments, the spending was 91%. The next slide, we look at the overall budget for the department, but we exclude the transfers and subsidies simply because those are administered separately in terms of the SLA with entities. So our budget for the department, excluding the transfers, was 2.2 billion. And we spent 1.365 billion, which amounts to 66%. On the administration, the budget was just about 1 billion, and we spent 616.3 million, which is 60%. Enforcement, IES, 647.9 million, and the expenditure was 394.2, which amounted to 61%. Public employment services, the expenditure was the adjusted budget 380.1, and we spent 265.3, which amounts to equates to 70%. And MP and IR, the budget of adjusted budget of 154.3, and the expenditure of 89. 0.6 million, which amounted to 58%. In terms of the economic classification, for the same information, compensation of employees was 1.44 billion, and we spent 962.3 million, which equates to 67%. Goods and services, 684.3 million, and the expenditure as at the end of the quarter is 376.6 million, which equates to 55%. Overall, in terms of the accumulative budget, at the quarter three, the expenditure was sitting at 63%. Now looking at the whole information for the whole amount for the department, administration as at the end of quarter three was sitting at 60% with the expenditure of 618.4 million. IES at the end of the quarter was sitting at 61% with the expenditure of 395.9 million. Public employment services, the expenditure was sitting at 53%, which amounts to 465 million. LPNIR, the expenditure as at the end of the quarter for the whole vote was sitting at 74%, which equates to 930.7 million. Well, this is also for the quarter, the position for our transfers, program three, where most of our transfers were sitting at 40%. Expenditure with SEE sitting at 44%, transfers that have been made to them. Productivity SA, within the third quarter, we have already transferred the whole of their tranche, hence it was at 100%. UIF, we only keep that amount alive there by leaving it at 1 rand or 1,000, so that if ever there is a need for fiscal funding, we've got that line item already available. So under normal circumstances, that line item is not active because UIF is self-sufficient, so to say. Compensation of employees, even though we are not funding compensation of employees, but there are financial transactions that happen between the department and compensation of employee compensation fund, which is the injuries on public servants. So at the third quarter, we have not received any claims from compensation fund for the injuries at work of public servants, except for those departments that are not catered for, mainly those that are service type. Police is one of them, Department of Army, forgotten the other one. The expenditure that on quarter three that was allocated in this financial year was expenditure for the presidential pathway, GTEC. At quarter three, that amount was not transferred to GTEC, so the expenditure was zero. So overall, the expenditure on the transfers on program three was 40%. All the other transfers that we also make on program four, African Regional Labor, the amount that we budget for our affiliation at quarter three was not paid, so there was zero expenditure that was recorded.
Sorry, CFO, are you aware that your presentation has since been taken off?
No, Chair, I'm not aware. I've got my own here that I'm working on.
we don't have a presentation yet. Since you went past, I think the presentation around the compensation of employees, then the presentation disappeared from the screen. Can you correct that? Because you're just now speaking to yourself and without the presentation on the screen.
COO. Can you assist me with the person who was
trying? I'm trying to CFO Chairperson. Sorry. It seems as if there's a network issue, so I'm trying to see if I can assist. But you were on the last slide, as I recall.
I think it should be the second last. You can just repeat one the second last and then go to the last one. Because I think that happened almost on the second last or at the conclusion of the third last year. Yeah. Sorry,
Chairperson, I'm also having difficulty. I'm trying my best here to see if I can assist.
Okay. Sorry, Honorable Members, for the disruption. I felt that you were disadvantaged as the presentation was no longer visible to everyone. Any progress, Ms. Bronkhorst?
Chairperson, I'm seeking higher assistance. Just give me a minute, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm just trying to keep hope to the members, the honorable members, so that they do not think that we have lost everything. Thank you. So it's right from the beginning now. I said my assumption is that it happened on the third last when it was concluding the third last year. Can you go back a bit?
Yes, Chair. I think that was the transfer. This is the transfers and subsidies that are sitting on program 4, LP and IR, our affiliation to African Regional Labor, ARLAC, there is zero because we haven't, at that point, we have not paid our affiliation. So there was no expenditure recorded. For strengthening of civil society, we have spent 20 million out of the 24.1 million. So the expenditure was 85%. CCMA, the expenditure, the transfer was already for the third quarter was sitting at 75%. And NEDLAC, the expenditure there was sitting at 100% as all the amount that needed to be transferred to this entity was done. So for labor, okay. For the next slide, in terms of households, This is the amount that we pay gratuity, we pay to our retiring or living employees. The expenditure was over because I think more people at that point were paid more people for gratuity. However, it's not an issue. At year end, we then make some transfers to cover whatever expenditure that has occurred. The provinces and municipalities, the amount that we paid for our licenses for the vehicles to municipalities, and the expenditure was sitting at 92%, or the licenses was sitting at 2,000, hence the expenditure was 3%. If there was no gift and donation that the department has made, and giving the total for LPNI at 65%. I think that concludes our transfers and subsidies in the financial presentation, Chair. Thank you.
Thanks, CFO. Thanks, CFO. Any further remarks on the DG or Ms. Bronkhorst to conclude the presentation? Or is it done?
Chair, it is done. Thanks.
Thanks, DG. Honorable members, that's the presentation of the third quarter. Can we invite comments and hands?
It's Michael Bagram.
Honorable Bagram. Honorable Makubele. Followed by Honorable Makubele. You can proceed, Honorable Bagram.
Honorable Zuma.
Honorable Zuma, you are the third one. Honorable Bagram, the platform is yours.
Thank you. Thanks. I appreciate it. If I can look at slide 6, the Inspection and Enforcement Services, it's notorious that the department doesn't have enough inspectors. And so we're obviously judging ourselves against what we have. I think there should be a comment on the fact that we need probably 4 or 5 times the amount of inspectors that we've got, and we need to put pressure on our minister to get a bigger budget for inspection services, because everything falls apart when you have no inspectors. We know, and it's notorious, that small businesses never see an inspector. So there's just a comment from me, and maybe there's a comment from Ms. Bronkhorst on that one. If I can look at slide 8, we're having a look at the Inspection Enforcement Services, and I'm not sure. Obviously, we set the department sets the target, the department measures itself, and then gives itself an overall greater performance, say, for the Eastern Cape. But from what I hear in the Eastern Cape is they never see an inspector. So, again, the same comment that I have. I just want to have a look here at slide 14. Again, we are judging ourselves, and I know that the Auditor General has made negative comments in the past. What's the comment? Are we looking to try and cure all the problems that we've had with the audit that we've had in the past? Look at slide 16, where we've said that the remedial action is to require to repay the expenses incurred by the department. If someone has actually created a problem, I'm not sure whether repayment is the right way to go. We should be looking at suspension and dismissal. Now, there's a big problem in the department in that people are suspended for months on end, getting full salary. And can they tell us that they've now actually gone through all that and people will be suspended quickly and disciplinary hearings will be held quickly? I know the department itself outsources the chairperson of the hearings, but maybe they should have it internally. If you look at slide 29, as public employment services, I'd like to know, and maybe the people from the Treasury can tell us this, but the costs of actually job creating a permanent job. Have they done that exercise? Because my understanding is that the costs of trying to create jobs by government is at least 10 to 20 times what it would cost for the private sector to create a job. And I'd like to have that those figures and see where we go. Slide 34. Again, we're collecting data on the national minimum wage, but somehow that data seems very thin. And can we trust it? I don't think we can. And maybe there's a comment on that. Slide 37. Job creation. Again, I'm not sure whether the department actually is doing much to create jobs. We had a situation over COVID where people applied for their TERS and there was lots of pressure on the UIF. And literally thousands of businesses came forward to claim but hadn't registered their staff for the UIF. And now we get we hear that the monies that we've clawed back from employers for non-payment of UIF is really thin. Have we missed that opportunity? What is actually going on there? Why so thin? And why haven't we done that? We had a perfect opportunity. We had 2 years of employers coming forward, and we could have done something about it. Slide 52, and I know I've got lots more, but I won't take up all the time. Slide 52, we're talking about research and registered job seekers and whatever. What's the value of this? Are we actually starting to place people, and have we looked at the exercise as to where these people are qualified and how we could actually place them? Thank you, Acting Chair. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Honorable Bikram. I'm sure all the questions have been flagged for responses. Honorable Makubele.
Thank you, Chairperson. I have few questions, and the other ones may just be considered as clarity-seeking questions. I will start with slide 6. I like the comparative analysis that the department did there. It provides us an opportunity to track and trace progress or failure thereof. Now I see that inspection and enforcement services branch performance has improved in the third quarter of 2021-2022 as compared to the second quarter of the same financial year. But Chairperson, as much as that improvement is commendable, given the importance of IEC branch, I will be comfortable to see IEC achieving 100% in each and every quarter. I believe it is doable. You'll agree with me that IEC set or plan to achieve just 4 targets. It is important that those 4 targets are achieved quarter after quarter. Another one, Chairperson, let me indicate impressive slide is slide 7, where we are provided with the performance trends by the department. We are given the performance of all the quarters of 2020 and 2021. It is pleasing to see that performance trend there. Perhaps the department would want to explain why there was no drop in performance of quarter 3 in 2020-2021 and why there is a drop in performance in quarter 3 of 2021 and 2022. Chairperson, again, when you get to slide 8, you see what I was talking about earlier on in relation to 4 planned targets. Public Employment Services, PPES branch achieved 100% in almost all provinces. Of course, with the exception of just 2, which are Gauteng and Mpumalanga. All other provinces achieved those 4 planned targets, but why Gauteng and Mpumalanga provinces did not achieve 100% just like other provinces? perhaps, as I learned, Chairperson, still on remedial actions. But now on slide 13, the English written in that remedial action column there is saying to me that the department is telling this portfolio committee that they are neither here nor there in relation to the remedial actions. Can what is written in that remedial action column on slide 13 be clearly explained so that we can follow and have something to hold on to? Thank you for now, Chairperson.
Thanks, Honorable Makubele. Honorable Zuma.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is seeking clarity. Chairperson, what about the achievement of the target in quarter three? When it comes to IAS, is just red. Then the overall performance of seven provinces is 67%. And the two provinces that obtain just 33%, those provinces being Eastern Cape and Free State. It came to a surprise for me when it comes to Eastern Cape, because I count this province among those are performing well. Chairperson, the importance of IES branch in the context of the country cannot be overemphasized. We therefore need to be told what happened in Eastern Cape, what happened in the Free State, and why are the seven other provinces overall performance is 67. Then secondly, what measures has the department and its entities put in place to closely monitor the performance with the view of the improving service delivery? Lastly, Chairperson, why all programs experience slow spending during the period under view? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Honorable Zuma. on the platform, Honorable Mkhonto has placed a comment there, because she says she's got a noisy background where she is. I will read it so that we also note it. I have a noisy chair. I hope the department is not going to regress further in as far as the inspection is concerned. We need to employ more inspectors. It is clear the unit is understaffed and can't service the workers that need the services most. So that's an additional comment, which when responding DG and your team, you should also take into account. From my side as the chair, there is in terms of the slide for which members have spoken to, there is this reason that is given with regard to achievement of 67%, that is because it is shut down. I will contrast or take it together with the reasons that have been given on slide 11, which basically talks about the application or the filling of vacancies, the reason being the question of delays in capturing. Taken together, the question, DG and your team, is whether, for instance, are you taking into account that when you, in fact, almost make the kind of achievements and the reasons provided, you effectively militate against the expectations outside there. For instance, the period that we're talking about, that we're saying it's a slowdown period, this is the period of anxiety in many families, particularly those that are unemployed and who are looking for any available job towards that period. So I think that there need to be some kind of turnaround so that at least we adopt an attitude, DG and the team, an attitude that basically says in the township lingo, we can't have a situation of a slowdown and that the consequence being the adverse effect to the targets that we have set to achieve, and then by extension impacting on the expectations of those who are in fact expecting responses to job applications, because the issue of vacancies as well is impacted upon, which when you're talking to slide 11, the reasons that are given there is that the delays on capturing of the applications, hence the vacancies have not been filled. And again, If you go to slide 13, again, another reason that has been given there is that the delays in finalizing the reports, that is the incidence of corruption, is with regard to the delays of finalizing reports. There is also the problem, if you go into the question, for instance, of justice delayed, is justice denied, where people are placed on a gray or suspicion for quite long periods, and that the cases then take much longer for them to be finalized. And if we can also address that, as well as the, I think the point around the annual financial statements have been covered, needs as well to be dealt with, so that we do not have a repetition where we have set targets for the 12th of October and for the end of October, and then only on the 12th of November the annual financial statements were finalized. I think those are the points in addition to the points that have been made by honorable members that I would want to add, particularly the one that effectively says that those who have applied for vacancies must then wait, because we are in a festive mood and therefore there is a slowdown in our points of operation. Thanks, DG and your team, Ms. Masha. The platform is yours for responses.
Chair, thank you very much for the questions. I'll start with your questions. I agree with you, and we reflected on this at the time as the executive committee of the department. The 67% performance is really not acceptable. And the reasons advanced are equally not acceptable, but they are a reality. Now, what it says to us is that people did not plan properly, because you know that the period of October, November, those periods where people write exams. So you need to plan for that, so that your performance is not adversely affected by the absence of a number of officials who are writing during that period. Because what we cannot do is to deny officials of the opportunity to develop themselves. We support that, but that needs to be balanced with the responsibilities that they have, and it's a supervisory responsibility. And in this case, I think as a department, we've failed to monitor this to make sure that doesn't happen. We have, however, taken steps. I think the COO will talk to that. We have taken steps to address underperformance in these areas. We have part of the consequence management, given warnings to the colleagues that if they don't check up their performance, they may find themselves outside of the department, because we're here to work. And that is the same thing with the vacancies. We have taken a view now that if you have a post and you don't fill the post, we'll take it and use it in the areas where there's a greater need. We need more inspectors, and therefore we will be keen to move those positions if they are not filled. I know it might sound like a drastic step, but I think given the chronic underspending in the files, the compensation of employees is concerned, and the problem of the filling of vacancies, I think those steps that we're taking are now justified. On the anti-fraud cases, the investigations, I agree with
both you, Chair, and Honourable Honourable Makubele. The reasons given, it's a simple thing, Chair. We have very, very limited resources to do investigation. So what we need are outsource resources to come in and assist. And we're now making provision for that, because it doesn't matter what we do. The number of cases that we get from our anti-fraud hotline, they are increasing, and most of these cases are located in the provinces. So I think we need more hands, and hence the step that we're taking now of bringing outside resources to come and assist, because this is a like one honorable member was saying, justice delayed is justice denied. So we want to make sure that you address this. On the submission of the annual financial statement, I think between ourselves and the Auditor General, we need to make sure that this does not happen again. So we're working very close with the AG to make sure that it doesn't happen. I agree with Honorable Mkhonto that we need to employ more inspectors. However, we depend largely on the availability of funds, whatever has been allocated to us, determines the number of inspectors that that we have. Like I said earlier on, that in instances where people don't fill vacancies in other areas, I think there's justification for us to move those posts into this area of greater need, which is of employing more inspectors. We do, however, try our best to use the limited resources that we have effectively, so that the issue of the numbers is not really felt. The reality, though, is that we will not be able to be every workplace, but the effective utilization of the limited numbers of inspectors will help us to make sure that at least we make a meaningful impact. And that's why you would have we have blitzes where we take inspectors from the different areas and move them to a specific area where we want to focus in that area. It's a costly exercise, but I think it is necessary. On the IES performance from Honorable Zuma, I think I'll ask the COO to talk to this because the provinces report to her, but I think what I can say here is that we monitor performance strictly as a department. In instances where there's non-performance, we take action. And this Eastern Cape one, there are two reasons. One is what the COO mentioned in terms of the poor planning with regards to people that go and write exams. The second one is that the number of inspections that had to be dropped because they don't meet the quality that we've set in terms of our standards. So a number of those inspections were not included in the report because of the quality of those inspections, and we're very strict on those now, given that we've moved on to a new system. So there are checks and balances. Steps taken to closely monitor performance, I think I've mentioned this. I think the slow spending during quarter three was also largely affected by the fact that we received an allocation for pathway management network in the middle of that quarter, which was about just 238 million, which was not spent because we needed to put together control measures. We needed to sign MOUs with the NYDA, GTEC, and the presidency. And we needed to set out exactly what this money was going to be used for and set milestones. And money could be transferred only once those milestones have been met. And that's why the spending in that area was very slow. On the questions asked by Honorable Makubela, I think I've spoken about the issue of anti-fraud, corruption, and the remedial action. I agree it was just English. We've taken steps now to get, we are taking steps to get an external service to assist us because of the fact that we have limited resources in that area and the cases are increasing. The drop in performance comparable to quarter three, I think COO will talk to that. The target sets must be achieved quarter in and quarter out. We agree with that. We strive to make sure that the targets are achieved, and the instances where they're not achieved will require the program managers to explain the reasons why those targets have not been achieved. And yes, we will be comfortable as well to make sure that those targets are achieved 100%. On the question raised by Honorable Bagrain, I think it was just the first question on the need for inspectors was just imploring the committee to help us in our fight to get more money for the appointment of the inspectors. I think we support that. I beg to differ though that in the Eastern Cape people don't see inspectors. I think that province is one of the provinces that are diligent in terms of making sure that the work that is supposed to be done is done. And I think if we're going to judge the province by merely this performance and then make the assertion that people in the province don't see inspectors, I think it will be wrong, Chair. On the suspensions, I think if I remember quite well, we only have one person who's on suspension in the department now. And the other suspensions, I think we reported to the committee that they, and they were relating to what was happening at the unemployment insurance fund. We've since brought those colleagues back because there were disciplinary hearings that took place and they were concluded. So in instances where you have some investigations that are being done, for instance, the one case involves the Hawks, and even though we hate keeping people in suspension personally because I must come to work every day and there are people who earn their salaries while sitting at home. But there are instances where bringing a person back or allocating this person to work in another area would actually be at a disadvantage for, to the organization. So we have just one case, if I remember quite well, and it's at the unemployment insurance fund. Now, the issue of the chairpersons being outsourced. I think if we were to limit the chairpersons only to internal staff, firstly, it will take us a long time to complete these cases because there are many of these cases. Secondly, the issue of fairness will also come to play here because We know most of the officials in the department, and the objectivity element, we need to safeguard it all the time. And that's why we've opted to get somebody from outside, to provide that, to make sure that there's objectivity and that the outcome is not called into any questions. I think the cost of creating a job in the private sector versus the public sector, I don't have the figures now, but I think that's something that we can provide. Whether we can argue in terms of cost here, rather than the fact that somebody is employed or has been given an opportunity, an employment opportunity. And I suppose the question relates to the public employment programs or the presidential employment stimulus programs that the government is currently running, and the costs that are associated with that. But we can make these figures available, Chair. I didn't understand the question on COVID-19 tests, but if I responded out of 10, you'll let me know, Chairperson. I think we made an undertaking when we started with the COVID-19 tests that we will claim the money back from employers, and we'll follow embark on a follow the money process, which we did, and we are collecting monies from the employers. And in fact, a number of employers are now coming to us and saying we want to bring the money back. Of course, also the collaboration that we have with the law enforcement agencies is also yielding positive results. We have people who are now coming voluntarily and saying we want to plead guilty. We shouldn't have taken money, and I think with a judgment, with a case that was concluded recently, where somebody was given a sentence of 135 years in jail for defrauding the fund, that has shaken others, and they want to now come forward, and that makes life easier for law enforcement agencies to conclude this case. So we are collecting money from employers, and in fact, even the normal revenue collection has actually improved. I think when the UIF comes to the committee, the UIF commissioner will share that information with the with the committee. And the placement of people in slide 52, it does actually take place, even though it takes place at a much slower rate. And given all the challenges that we have, the skills mismatch and other challenges that we have, but placement does take place, and that's why we make an effort of sharing that information with the committee whenever we come into the presentation. I think my colleagues will come in areas where I have not responded. Chairperson, COO, and Esther from Public Employment Services, and the CFO, they can just add, Chair.
Thanks, DC. Can we invite additional comments?
Thanks, Chair. It's Marsha Bronco, COO, speaking. Chair, thank you. I would like to start with the question around the drop in quarter three performance, but not in 2021. Indeed, that is correct. 2020-21 was the year when we had the very hard lockdown in quarter one. And during the course of the year, the lockdown was eased. So in the first quarter of 2021, we had a very bad performance of 25% because of the hard lockdown that we had. And subsequent to that, the performance of the department increased slowly during the months as the lockdown was eased. That's why it would appear as if in quarter three, we had better performance because of the reasons I have explained. The question of quarter three targets and the performance of Eastern Cape and Free State, I think the Director General has explained it. But to add that they had three targets, two of them which were not met was the one for inspections, which was a common problem for all the provinces at that time. And the second one was the preparation and submission of legal documents for prosecution. That has also now been corrected. I think they both had a vacant post at that time. So it took time outside the time frames. And we were very strict in terms of IAS to make sure that we stick to competent documents. The closely monitoring the performance of provinces is monitored on a monthly basis. And after each quarter, when there is non-achievement, the heads of the provinces receive letters in terms of progressive discipline to make sure that they improve their performance. And that indeed does improve the performance. We've seen it in the provinces that have had underperformance and they have improved. I think, Chairperson, that takes care of the questions that I had to respond to. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Masha Bronkhorst, for the additional points. Any additional points, CFO? Or you covered?
On my side, I am covered. The issue was on the annual financial statement with the DG covered appropriately. Thank you.
Thanks, CFO. Honorable members, I think we have...
Sorry, Chair, can I answer one question?
Mr. Kalepi.
There was a question by Honorable Bagrin on the whether can we trust the research on slide 34. And I just wanted just to indicate that the research that we're talking about on the minimum wage is done by one of the reputable research organizations in this country, DPRU, based at the University of Cape Town. And we've got no reason not to trust the results of the research that they've given. And also, just to allay any fears to the members on the delay in the minimum wage, that research, although it was released late, it did not have the effect of delaying the review of the minimum wage, which must come in on the 1st of March the following year. That review came in on the date that it was supposed to come, although the published research was published later than what it was supposed to publish. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Nkalipi, for the additional points. Honorable Makubela, I see your hand is still up.
Yes, Chairperson, I just want to make a follow-up letter's comment.
Yes, you can.
Okay, thanks, Chairperson. On slide 13, slide 13 needs to be explained better. Such as how many cases were referred to the employment relations, because there is nothing both in English and maths that says one case. Secondly, what is meant by 13 cases referred to SARS? Does it mean criminal cases were opened? Can we be provided with case numbers as an information that should be submitted to the committee by Friday? Thanks, Chairperson.
Thanks, Honorable Makubela. Can we get a response, DG? Because it's a commitment that we get this by Friday.
We will certainly do that, Chair.
Thanks, DG. The point has been responded to. Honorable members, Honorable Deputy Minister and the DG and the team.
Chair.
And just, okay.
Michael Bagram, I had my hand up if possible.
Okay, you can come, Honorable Bagram.
Thank you, DG, for the responses. I think my question about the UIF was misinterpreted slightly in the sense that I know that the department is clawing back money from people who illegally took money for the TERS, and I applaud you for that. I sensed an enormous opportunity during the COVID period to dig out employers who never registered with the UIF. And I suspect there were literally hundreds of employers who came forward and claimed TERS for their employees but weren't registered. We need to make sure that those people are all in the net. And I just feel that we missed that opportunity to get as many people in the net as possible, many employers in the net. That's what I was hinting at. So, sorry for the misinterpretation. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Begram. I'm sorry it's captured, DG.
Yes, Chair, it is captured. In fact, Honorable Begram is correct. We were also excited that, you know, we're able to have a much more better view of the employers who were not complying with UIF. And we have not missed that opportunity. I just want to assure Honorable Bagram Chair and the committee that we have not missed that opportunity. We are actually using it to our advantage because we now have a sense of who these employers are, and our inspectors are doing their work in terms of making sure that we collect the outstanding contributions from these companies. But we've also registered on them now because we know them, and we have forced them to declare their employees. So we have not missed the opportunity. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, DG. Maybe in the same vein, DG and the team and the Honorable Deputy Minister, I think the concluding remark also appropriate in this regard would also be to congratulate the department for the recoveries that it has made. If you look for in terms of the presentation that has been made on slide 50, you would find that there's quite a lot of money that has been returned to workers. The most higher ones is the 28.2 million that was recovered from COIDA, which has also been returned to workers, and as well as the 19.6 million that is on the National Minimum Wage Act. As well, we can also note the Basic Condition of Employment Act, around 5.8 million, and the UCA, UIF, around the 1 million. Altogether, these are funds that have been returned to workers, which I think we should appropriately align with what Honorable Begram and DG have just concluded on. Also congratulate the department for a job well done. And we'll continue, DG will request that, and the Honorable Deputy Minister would request that the report should in fact always be captured on progress that has been made. And we would want to express our gratitude for that kind of intervention. And we hope that we will see more of these recoveries happening. Having said that, there are also comments that have been made which have further enriched our discussion with regard to the presentation. And want to appreciate all the contributions that have been made by honorable members. And in conclusion, would want again to extend our word of gratitude to Honorable Chairperson Mahmoud Dunzwa, who is off seat, and we wish her well. And we would want to encourage honorable members, whenever they have an opportunity, to just place a call of well-wishing wishes to her, so that she in fact feels to continue to be part of this collective. With those few words, I want to thank everyone for the contributions that we have made to make this important portfolio committee meeting a success, and see you at the next portfolio committee meeting. Unless Mr. Sagaza, there are any announcements you would make before I adjourn. Any announcements?
No, Honorable Chair. There isn't as yet.
Thanks, Mr. Sagaza. Honorable members, the meeting is adjourned. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you.